in which I interview 3 of the 5 candidates for the Racine Unified School Board. Education Matters is part of WGTD HD's community-oriented programming on Saturday mornings. As I indicated, today's guests are 3 of the 5 candidates for the Racine Unified School Board. This election will take place on Tuesday, April 7th, and residents of the Racine Unified School District will be able to vote for 3 of these 5 candidates. The 3 candidates with us today are Bryn Bemek, Don Nielsen, an incumbent, and Guadalupe Wally Rendon, an incumbent. Kim Plake, also an incumbent, was unable to be with us when we taped this program due to a conflict, as was also Lisa Parham. She was also unable to be with us. Welcome to all 3 of you, and thank you for making yourselves available to sit on Racine Unified's 9-member school board. The top 3 vote-getters in this election will receive a 3-year term. Right now, there is 1 vacant seat on the board, that of Krister Epigesi, who has resigned as he has taken a position in Minneapolis. His position will be filled shortly. As a matter of interest for our listeners, the only rule for our program today is that each candidate will have up to 2 minutes for an opening statement and 1 minute for a closing statement. And I would ask that your responses to questions be around 1 minute, though that can be flexible, I guess. So to get started, each candidate will provide an opening statement. So Bryn Bemek, let's start with you.
Thank you very much for the warm welcome. And thank you also to Don and Wally for being here today. Like you said, my name is Bryn Bemek. My first time running for school board. I'm very excited. I'm out talking to quite a lot of people. Basically, my background is I teach part-time at 4 different schools. I teach in the after-school program, and I do chess. So I work with 1st through 5th graders who aren't really that advanced in their skills yet, but I teach the basics, and more importantly, I teach paying attention and really dialing in and focusing, which is something that a lot of children need. Both my mother and grandmother are retired public school teachers, so education is really something in my background and something I'm passionate about. So far, I've been very much out in the community. My volunteers and I yesterday knocked every single door in Sturtevant, all of Sturtevant, okay, in one day. And we've broken the 7,500 mark for houses that we have reached. So if I haven't talked to you yet, I'm likely to talk to you shortly before the election, because my goal is to reach as many people with my pro-education, pro-school, and pro-child message. Beyond that, I do have to say I have quite one amazing experience that happened to me Saturday, where I actually got invited into a birthday party of someone who had seen me speak at another forum. She dragged me into her house, and this is the most wonderful thing in the world. You have to talk to everyone. They have to know about you. And I was so enthusiastic, and as a reward, she gave me this really great slice of rainbow birthday cake.
Yay.
Which was about the most heartwarming thing that has ever happened to me. So, thank you.
Okay, thank you. That was Bryn Bemek. Our next candidate, then, is Don Nielsen. Don?
Thank you, Dwayne, and thank you all for listening. Brem, I can't beat the birthday cake. I think that's really great. I've been on the school board for 9 years. I'm a lifelong resident of Racine. I grew up in West Racine and attended Pratt Elementary, went on to McKinley, and then I graduated from Park. I stayed in Racine and went to what Parkside used to be before it became Parkside, and that was University of Wisconsin Racine Center. I graduated with my undergraduate degree from the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee and went on for a graduate degree at University of Wisconsin-Oshkosh. I then worked in the school district for 30 years as a counselor at the Academy and then the Mac Center. I ran for the office originally because I was concerned about accountability and student achievement, and I was worried also about the condition of our buildings. Those 3 things are still very much a concern to me. In the recent past, we have seen some sparks in the student achievement. We had a report from our superintendent, Dr. Hawes, that showed that we were starting to make some gains from last fall to this winter. That's, you know, a good start, and I hope we can continue it. The maintenance referendum, which was passed, I've been waiting for 9 years for, because I firmly believe we need to have schools that are 20th century schools and not 18th century or 19th century schools. The technology that we want to use needs to be developed in schools where it can be used to its full extent. If elected again, I would focus on maintaining our student achievement goals, maintaining a watchful eye on the referendum to make sure we use it on the maintenance and security and technology that we said it was going to be used for, and also being available to everyone. You know, I appreciate the opportunity to talk today with these other candidates and hope you will find benefit from it. Thank you.
Thank you, Don Nielsen. And our third and final candidate then with an opening statement, Wally Randon. Wally?
Thank you, Dr. Olson, and thank you for the other candidates being here, and thank you for the audience for listening this morning. My name is Wally Randon, as Dr. Olson said. I spent 24 years working for the City of Racine Police Department, having retired back in 1999. Ever since then, I have been pretty much involved quite a bit in Racine, actually Racine and Kenosha area, with a lot of the nonprofit, a lot of the committees that are aimed at making a positive difference in the community. And that's one of the reasons that, just one of the reasons that I as an incumbent, would appreciate being reelected to the position of the Racine Unified School Board. As Don mentioned, there's a lot of projects going on that we have. A lot of it is pertaining to the referendum monies. One of the things that we want to make sure, and I'm sure a lot of people in the audience would like to see, is that those monies that are earmarked for projects that are as a result of the referendum money are being spent on that and not on something else. I have grandkids that are in the Racine Unified School District. All my three kids graduated from district. And so we want to make sure that the structure, as Don mentioned, too, some of the buildings that we have, some of the schools that we have, were built in the 1800s, and we want to make sure that our kids are given the opportunity to attend modern schools with the best technology there is that will keep them up with some of the other districts in the state. And again, folks, that's the reason that I'm running again, to make sure that we have the accountability that Don talked about, and to make sure that our kids get the best education possible.
Thank you, Wally. Now let's move on to then my first question then that I have, and you were anticipating that, the last two of you here dealing with technology. One of the most positive developments in Racine Unified in these last several years was the passing of a bond referendum last November for additional funding of $8.5 million each year for the next 15 years for safety, technology, and updating or building new school buildings to replace Old Brown and Knapp Elementary Schools and turn Gifford Elementary into a K-8 school. Let's first of all talk about technology needs in terms of the use of these funds. So what has been done and what needs to be done? And Don, then we'll start with you on that question.
Well, the first thing that was done was that advisory committees for the superintendent were set up to overlook the technology and the maintenance and the construction projects. The administration came to the board with a proposal to buy 5,000 computers and equipment to service them. And the board at that time, when it first came, turned it down and requested that they come back after they had talked to the advisory committee. After there was contact with the advisory committee, it was brought back. There was a discussion about all the different uses it could make in not only the classroom instruction, but also in the state testing, which is required by the state of Wisconsin. The purchase of 5,000 computers enabled us to have one computer for every four students at the elementary level, and this enables us to make the state testing much more feasible. In the past, we would have to have students lined up waiting for access to computers, and now we will be able to have more students taking the test and be able to prepare for the test on that technology.
Okay, let's move on to Wally. Wally, then, would you comment then on the technology needs in terms of these funds and what's been done and what needs to be done?
Well, I would echo a lot of the comments that Don made relative to the importance of upgrading our technology for our students. As in the past, as Don mentioned, the students did not have the access to the computers that they needed to. By purchasing the 5,000 plus computers that we did, the Chromebooks that we did, allows the teachers to implement programs through the technology that they now have, that which they didn't have in the past. As Don mentioned, one of the things that that we did as a board, we when they first approached us to it, we asked that the advisory committee, and that's what the advisory committees were set up for to do, to make sure that any money that is spent, whether it be in technology, whether it be on the infrastructure, is being spent as it should be spent. The importance of that is to keep the advisory committees going, to make sure that, especially in the technology field, that those computers that we actually have right now, and make sure that the other buildings, as far as the wiring and everything else that needs to be in place for the computers to function, are in place.
So that's one of those things I think we tend not to think about, is all of the infrastructure that needs to be in place in order to have this technology work for us.
And that's correct. And that's one of the things that we've discussed, too, and that our technology department has been diligently working to make sure that all the buildings have the appropriate wiring, Wi-Fi infrastructure that needs to be in place.
Okay. Bryn Bimek, give your ideas then in terms of technology, what's been done, what needs to be done.
Yes. Well, to begin with the repair referendum in general, my question is, how were the schools left to get in such ill repair to begin with? Why did we suddenly have to take out a large referendum and increase the amount of money that taxpayers are going to have to pay over time, when regular routine maintenance should have been performed on the schools to begin with? In regards to technology, I do see that technology has its place. What I do point out also, though, is some of the most successful schools we have in our country are Waldorf schools, in which the children are not allowed to have access to technology either at the school or at home. It's strongly encouraged that they learn in very traditional ways. In fact, Bill Gates sent all of his children to Waldorf schools, and Steve Jobs didn't allow his students to have iPads. So if the people who have created these technologies don't want their own children to have them, yet, schools all across the country are getting these sort of technological devices, what does that say? What should be what's good for the goose is good for the gander. So, I understand the necessity of training for the jobs of tomorrow, but yet we do not know what those jobs of tomorrow are going to entail. So there are reasons to have technology, and I think there's also lots of reasons not to.
Any follow-up thoughts then in terms of technology that anyone wants to offer briefly?
The technology is an instrument to be used. I recognize the Waldorf plan, and I respect it. I think it's a very valid method, but it's only one method. I think when you look at the vast array of research, there is a lot of support for the use of technology as an appropriate tool, but not as the total, teaching method. One of the things that is a reality is that all state testing, which is required, it's not something which we have any control over, is now being done on computers. Our students would be at a distinct disadvantage if they were in a Waldorf program and then were required to take achievement tests, which were going to measure not only their achievement, but the achievement of the school and the district, and they had never been able to use or practice on a computer.
Okay, thank you, Don. Any other thoughts on technology? Go ahead, Bryn.
Yes, I'd like to follow up on that. With the testing, the Smarter Balance tests that our state is moving towards, I am firmly against the Smarter Balance assessment tests because it also ties into Common Core, which I know both candidates present are in favor of. You know, these children are taking 6 to 8 hour long grueling tests. And the Smarter Balance test is designed with 70% fail rate in mind. So we are forcing children to take tests that they are very likely going to fail and making them go through that. And the computers, they crash. I mean, there are instances all the time where these children are taking the tests, the computers fail, and it ruins everything. It's an extremely stressful process. The standardized testing in our country, in our state, in our city, everywhere has gotten out of hand. And we have a very large movement of parents and teachers who are opting out. Parents are pulling their kids, not letting them take the test. And we have teachers who refuse to. They're using personal days and will not administer the test.
Okay, let's move on then. I want to talk about the next part of the referendum then, the part then dealing with the facilities, the buildings, the repairs, and that sort of thing. And to start out with that question, I think, Wally, you get to lead off on this one.
Thank you, Dr. Olson. Well, as we have mentioned earlier, a lot of our buildings are very old buildings. And even though as much as possible some monies have been spent to upgrade them the best that could be done, but nevertheless, whether it's windows, whether it's roofing, whether it's the heating system was still, some of the schools still have some of the old boiler type heaters that obviously take up a lot of energy and cost a lot of money to run during the winter. Some of the gyms that we have, the floors are pretty bad. They need to be replaced before somebody does get hurt. So that's and again on that one too, Dr. Olson, the thing about it is that we have an advisory committee to oversee those. With respect to things that have been done in the past or haven't done in the past, or why they haven't been done in the past, well, there's not much that we can do about it. We can't live in the past, but we can surely look at making some progress forward. So that's why I say that one of the things that I advocate for and I support is the people that are in the advisory committee as well, Dr. Olson, are people that are either in the trades, especially the infrastructure part of it, or have had some dealings with construction and or even the marketing of the school structure that are being proposed.
Okay, thank you, Wally, on that. Bryn Bimek, talk about the two new buildings, the facilities, that sort of thing that we're talking about right now.
Yes, I do like that we have an advisory committee. I think it is extremely important that we get as much of the community involved in the school district in any way possible and get as much input from as many different voices and different people from different demographics as we can. Our schools do need to be repaired. And Wally did have a good point. You know, we can't live in the past of why or why not. It hasn't happened, but we do need to do it. And I, again, say it is a shame that they were left to get this way. I had the opportunity to speak with a mother who was almost in tears describing, she sends her children to Walden. And she said, it looks like a trash pile. There's stuff everywhere. It's dirty. It's falling apart. She said they had to get rid of the cheerleading program because they didn't have floor mats anymore. So what's happening that our schools aren't getting this money? You know, I'm glad that we have money that will be coming in through the referendum. I still think we need to take a very hard look at our budget and see exactly where money in general in Unified is going and make sure that as much of it as possible is making its way into the schools and less on administration and bureaucracy.
Okay, and then Don Nielsen, then, in terms of facilities.
I want to start off by going back a number of years to when the state of Wisconsin first imposed spending caps on school districts. Racine was, I believe, the only district in the state of Wisconsin that cut taxes that year. Every other district spent as much as they could, realizing that their future budgets would be based on what that budget was. As a result, the school district has had to deal with a compounded problem of reduced state aid because the spending cap was set and you could not exceed it. It has taken up till now for the rest of the state to basically catch up to what happened to Racine with those cuts. And the reason that the maintenance was put aside was that priorities were made to try to keep cuts in the budget from affecting students in the classroom. Right or wrong, those were some of the decisions. One of the things I was hoping to do when I came on the board 9 years ago was to improve that maintenance budget. It's not going to be a very popular thing in the next couple of years, but one of the proposals that the board has looked at, and I am very strongly promoting, is that we take the 15 years to develop our current maintenance budget from $600,000 to roughly $6 or $7 million over that 15-year timeline. That means that we're going to have to find the money within the budget and within the spending caps. That means that we're going to have to make cuts in areas that people value. I'm not going to list a bunch of things that could be cut because then people will say that you're just using scare tactics, and that's not my intent. I'm just stating the fact. The fact is, if we want to have an increased maintenance budget, something else is going to have to be cut. And those cuts are going to come either from programs, from supplies, or from people. And the biggest part of our budget is our people. So I wholeheartedly agree with the maintenance program, but the referendum budget will cover the backlog only if we spend it totally on the backlog. Any money we use for technology and safety is also going to detract from the maintenance, and we're going to have to make that up. So it's going to be a very tough struggle in the next 15 years, not only to spend the money wisely, but to put more money aside so when the referendum runs out, we have a budget that is adequate for our needs.
Okay, let's move on to the next question. There is a lot going on in Racine Unified in public education across Wisconsin and the entire country today, and I'm concerned about teacher morale in Unified. Where are we? What needs to be done in this era? Where collective bargaining is not available as a tool to respond to these issues currently? So I guess then we're ready to start with you again, Bryn.
Yes. Teacher morale is something that is extremely important to me. And right now I think what we have is a failure to communicate. We have a lot of teachers. I've spoken to teachers and I've spoken with other staff who feel afraid to bring up their concerns. You know, I spoke with a gentleman who came before the board and then the next day was called into his principal's office because of the statements he made. So we have an environment where, you know, communication isn't necessarily being encouraged. And teachers are the most important part of a school. They're the ones interacting with your children. They're the ones on the trenches, as they say. They're the ones dealing with the problems that schools face every day. You know, it takes a lot of courage, a lot of bravery, and a lot of heart to want to be a public school teacher these days, especially in Wisconsin, where we are suffering from budget cuts and we are having an attack on education. And there's no other way to say it. And so these people who I feel have gone into a noble profession, for them to not feel comfortable in their workplace is a tragedy. And so I really want to be the voice of those people. I want to be someone that a teacher can come to and say, this is what I'm doing that's working. Could we possibly try it in other schools? Because I've heard that a lot of teachers do things, but they don't share them because they're not part of policy. Or, you know, I'm having this difficulty. What can you do about it? I really want to make sure that our teachers feel comfortable and safe to talk to me and the rest of the board.
Okay, Don Nielsen, then, comment on this issue, then, of teacher morale.
I think that, you know, teacher morale is an issue. There are a lot of teachers, unfortunately, I think Prim is right, that are afraid. And that fear is not something which is conducive to a healthy teaching environment. But I want to make something, you know, clear. I have a friend that teaches in Washington State, elementary school teacher, who called me about 3 weeks ago and was very frustrated, and we talked for quite a while. The fear in Washington State was very similar to some of the fear we have in Racine. It's because teachers are not sure how to deal with the expectations, especially as far as testing. Prim earlier talked about the excessive amount of testing. And that's not a school district's choice. That's not a teacher's choice. That's a requirement. And until that is changed, it's going to be an issue. And it does cause fear because teachers are being told, if your students don't perform, you're going to be evaluated on how those students do. And that is pressure and can cause fear. Is there... Are there other issues? Yes. Act 10 changed the life in schools as we know it. Teachers had bargaining rights in the past and were able to use them. And I think there is an awful lot of change that has happened in a very short time, and there's an adjustment going on. But the fear is there for a variety of reasons. And Brim is right, teachers should be able to bring suggestions forward, and I am open to teachers, and they call me. I bring those suggestions onto the administration, and I strongly encourage them to talk to your union if they feel they have a problem that could be brought through the union process. Although we have no contract, we still have an employee handbook, which does offer them a pathway for assistance.
Okay, thank you, Don. And then Wally, then comment then on this issue of teacher morale.
Well, again, both Brim and Don pretty much covered a lot of the reasons that there is that fear. A lot of it could be because they may not have the support that they feel that they should have from administrators, the principals that they may work for. But it's not a, and Don somewhat alluded to, it's not just the issue within the state of Wisconsin or even the Racine Unified School District. I'm pretty sure that a lot of the other school districts throughout the nation have teachers feeling the same way about their job, as far as not feeling secure or not having support that they need to do the jobs that they're hired to do. One of the things we've always said, especially my prior career in law enforcement and teachers, is, you know, we don't go into a law enforcement, we don't go into the teaching profession because we want to become millionaires. We go into those professions because we care about the community and we want to make some kind of positive difference as a result. And so, again, as Don alluded to, as Don mentioned, we welcome any teacher that has some issues within their school that they're working in, or any other issues. But it, and again, they had, though there's no negotiating as the contract goes, there still is an employee manual that can be utilized to bring forth any kind of concern that they may have towards their teaching in a classroom, any fear that they may have. They need to bring it forward to the school board, and need to bring it forward to the administration.
Okay, thank you, Ollie. Now let's take a little different tack. In forums like this, we tend to talk about challenges and problems. Let's shift that by asking you to identify two or three positive things that are going on in Racine Unified today. And by the way, I picked that idea up for that question from a friend of mine yesterday. So, and I guess, Don, we start with you, Don Nielsen.
Well, I'm glad you asked it, because there are a lot of things that get overlooked by the media, and really it's hard to describe them and bring them out. We do a good job on our website, and I really hope people go to the website and see, because every board meeting we have recognitions for students. We had recognitions several weeks ago for AP students who had earned had passed a number of tests and had earned credits towards towards college. I had a friend of mine whose son graduated from Case High School in the IB program, and University of Wisconsin-Madison wanted to start him as a junior because he had basically earned enough credits to start as a junior while going to Case High School. That's one thing. The other things are, the arts. We have some fantastic programs going on. If you want to see theater and you want to see it at a very economical basis, all of the high schools do musical productions and theater productions. The middle schools do productions, and the elementary schools do productions. It's very entertaining and inspiring to hear these kids sing and perform as part of their school function. We also have students who are in some of the vocational programs who have received not only national but international, as far as the auto mechanics program, recognition for their achievements.
Okay, let's move on and let Wally cut in on this one too. So, okay, Wally?
Well, I'll continue on what Don was talking about. But right now, a lot of our ninth grade students with have three or more credits at the end of the first semester are on track to graduate. And this is something that that's happening now that possibly didn't happen in the past, where keeping track of the progress that the students are making in each grade level to really track to see if they are on track to graduate, or if they're falling through the cracks and they may need some more help. 18 new schools have websites that were launched, and we tend to, as you mentioned too, Dr. Olson, one of the things we tend to do, we tend to look for the negative stuff.
Yes, that's the tendency, yes.
Right, the tendency is to do that, but like Don said, there are a lot of their performing arts in the schools. I've attended some of these plays that these kids have put on, and without, if you didn't know any better, you'd think that these kids were professionals. I mean, that's how good they are.
Yes.
And so that's one of the things that as a community, we need to start embracing those, start attending those, and and really celebrate the fact that a lot of our kids are very talented kids, and a lot of our students have wound up going on, like Don mentioned, have gone on to college and become very successful. But those are some of the things that we don't read in the newspaper.
Okay, Bryn BMac, two or three things that are going on that are positives.
I do. I just want to backtrack before I forget to a statement that was made by Don about how we have to do the testing. We do have the Germantown School District in Wisconsin has decided to opt out of Common Core and to do their own set of curriculum. So it is possible for school districts to not have to do that brutal testing and follow that. Now, to the question about things that are positive, I go back to saying that we have a lot of great teachers. We have phenomenal teachers here in Unified. And so many people that I talk to, they right away when I, you know, I ask, what do you think about the schools? First thing is, I love how my teachers work with my children, and, you know, I call them, they follow up with me, we come up with solutions. And it's house after house after house, a person I talk to just praises the teachers to no end, which is great. And so I think we need to continue to build and support that foundation. And then also to piggyback off the statements, we do have a lot of really great things happening in the fine arts. I, talking to another parent, said the same one actually who was lamenting over this how Walden, the building, looks, was telling me they had a talent show. And there were so many students that signed up, they had to split the talent show into two nights. Each night was 3 hours long. And she said, you know, they're kids, but they're great. And so I think we have that going on, not just in that school, but as alluded to, every school, where we do have wonderful student achievers who are succeeding in great ways.
That's great. Okay, thank you, Bryn. Let's move on to the Common Core, because that has been raised here. And there's now a proposal before the state legislature to make the Common Core state standards adopted by the state of Wisconsin in 2010 optional. Where do you stand on the Common Core standards and this issue? And let's see, who do I start with? I think, Wally, I start out with you this time.
Thank you, Dr. Olson. Obviously, as you mentioned, there's pros and cons. There are some people that like the Common Core. Some people do not like the Common Core. Personally, the reason I like the Common Core, because again, the Common Core to me is important because it addresses the fact that if one child leaves one of the schools within the school district and they go at another one and they're practicing the Common Core program, they don't have to worry about, I got to learn a different way of doing things. So in other words, by having this, I think it's 40-some-odd states that do at this juncture practice the Common Core. Again, same applies if I leave here, go to another state that has a Common Core programming, you know, that would help us as well, especially like in our case, we have a lot of immigrant families that migrate from here and migrate from state to state.
Sure.
So if they were to go from one school to another school, they don't have to worry about falling behind because now we don't know how they do it in that school. Now, I like it because, the Common Core there's 46 states, as a matter of fact, in the District of Columbia have adopted the Common Core. And again, it was not put together by politicians. It was put together by educators, and it's put together by some politicians that were part of it, and also some of the parents. So it was not just a bunch of educators putting this together, but it was a combination a lot of people that had interest in the welfare of the students that are going to be practicing this, utilizing this Common Core program.
Okay. Thank you, Wally. Then Bryn Bimek
on
the Common Core.
I am vehemently, very much against Common Core. And the one thing I would caution with, though, is that on the surface, it looks as if we're going to be getting rid of the standards. The smarter balance tests that we're going to have in the state are essentially Common Core in disguise, because we'll still have to make sure that we're teaching to those extreme testing standards. And, you know, what Common Core does is it takes control away from the teachers and away from the parents and dictates what they should be teaching in the classroom. And, you know, again, with these tests, the top 10 nations, as far as testing go, the top 10 nations don't even start testing until the end of sixth grade. And here we are making a bunch of second graders take 8-hour tests in English language and math, which is absolutely ridiculous. And really, all that tests all the tests teach you is that someone's good at taking a test. Could you imagine, let's say, if the number one evaluation for whether or not how a student was performing were they had to give just presentations, all these presentations over and over and over and over. And public speaking is the number one fear, second only to death. So more people would rather be dead than get up and talk in front of a crowd. And so it would be just as ridiculous to force students and schools' funding to be based on public speaking as it would to have it based on whether or not a child is good at taking a test.
Okay, thank you, Bryn. Don Nielsen, and on the Common Core.
Well, I'm pretty much basically totally the opposite of Bryn. The testing that you talked about, Bryn, is basically the funding for that testing is not in the state budget, which is a way of removing the Common Core out of the Wisconsin kind of through the back door. I would challenge your comment about Germantown, however, because you can opt out of the Common Core, but in the state of Wisconsin, students will still have to take some form of test to be evaluated. You know, that's a state mandate. That's part of the teacher effectiveness program, which is mandated now by the state of Wisconsin, is that teachers are evaluated. You know, 50% of their evaluation is based on how their students do on the achievement test given by the state or by the, you know, the district that chooses it. I would echo what Wally said as far as if you want to compare school districts, you need to have a common standard. And saying that the Common Core demands all the teachers to teach specific things, any curriculum that any district uses is going to have requirements for material that needs to be covered. The Common Core is just another way of addressing it. And one thing I can't pass up is the reference that Bryn made to the 10 countries that are doing better than we are. I have a relative who goes to Finland on a regular basis because she has family there. And she talked exactly about how students aren't tested. As a matter of fact, students in Finland may not start, you know, in the school until they're 6-7 years old. What's not known is that the students also are in child care. And every child care worker in Finland is required to have a master's degree in early childhood. And they're paid substantially more than we pay our students in the United States. The other thing in Finland that is quite different than the United States is 98% of the students in the Finnish school program are Finnish. It's quite different when you have a diverse population, and the poverty level in Finland is nowhere near what it is in the United States, especially in Racine. So if you want to compare Racine, Wisconsin, or the United States to other countries, you have to look at all of the parts of the comparison because it's not apples to apples. Each country has their own educational system.
Okay. Let's move on very, very quickly, maybe 30 seconds each. I want to ask, how well are exceptional education students being served in Racine Unified, and what more needs to be done? And Bryn, we'll start with you on that. 30 seconds, folks.
30 seconds. Goodness, I have so much I want to say on those other statements, but we don't have the time for that.
And we're not debating either.
Yeah, I know. We're not debating. As much as I want to debate, I get all excited. but, no, I think that it's great that we have exceptional students. I myself took AP classes in high school, and so any student who does that, I give them a wild round of applause. It's awesome that you can take college-level classes in high school and, you know, as Don was talking about earlier, end up being a sophomore or a junior when you walk through the door and you're saving a ton of money at that college. So beyond that, I don't know the specifics of other programs that we're running, but I'm certainly in favor of making sure that those students get the best education possible.
Don Nielsen.
All right. I want to make sure you were talking about
exceptional education students.
Okay, exceptional education students. My youngest son, Mark, was the first child with Down syndrome to go to be in an inclusive environment at the elementary level in Racine Unified. He's now 29 years old and is working independently and has been very successful. I think Unified has an awful lot to offer for students with disabilities. I think it's an ever-changing environment, and it's going to be a challenge to keep up with all the changes.
Wally Randon.
Thank you again, Dr. Olson. Again, the exceptional students, you know, we have to promote those students that are being, they're having exceptional careers through the school system, and just look at other programming that's going to really enhance their quality of education.
Okay, thank you ever so much. Now, to close our program, each candidate will have 1 minute to summarize her or his views on Racine Unified and indicate why voters should vote for her or him in the upcoming election, the April 7th election. It's 1 minute each, okay, and we'll start with you, Don.
Thank you, Dr. Olson, and thank you, Wally and Brem. It's been a pleasure being here today. I think we've had some good discussion, almost a debate at some times, but there are some clear differences, and I would stand on my record. I have been on the board for 9 years, and I think most people that follow the board know the positions I take. I want to have the best district we can have. I want strong student achievement and buildings that are worthy of our children, and we also need to have an accountability system built in that makes everybody, you know, aware of what's going on and can, you know, see the improvements and everything clearly.
Wally Randon.
Thank you again, Dr. Olson. As Don mentioned, again, I've been on the board now a little over a year and a half. And one of the things that I would continue to do is advocate for, you know, quality programming and make sure that their teachers are treated fairly as they're supposed to be, and again, that they, as much as possible, have a safe working environment, you know, and just continue to support and advocate for some of the infrastructure and make sure that things are being followed as they're supposed to be to make sure that our students receive the best education possible.
Thank you, Wally. And Bryn Meemack.
Thank you again for the invite, and to the other candidates for coming, and to everyone who is listening out there in magical radio land. The thing I want to point out is that as a challenger, it is my job to draw contrast between myself and the other candidates. So I'm not trying to be contentious or stir up debate. I will just passionately state my views, and the views that I'm passionate on just happen to be the ones we disagree on. I do have respect for anybody who is a public servant and on this board, any other office. And the main reasons that I feel you should vote for me is that I want to restore the quality of the education our children are receiving. I want to then reduce the cost of that quality education. But most importantly, I want to rebuild communication with parents. And not just with the parents, but also with the staff. I think we need to come together and work together in order to improve Unified. Thank you.
To our radio audience, this is your host, Dwayne Olson, thanking you for being with us today for this special edition of The Morning Show, in which I interviewed three of the five candidates for the Racine Unified School Board. To the candidates, I wish you the very best in your campaigns. The general election is Tuesday, April 7th, when three members will be elected to the Racine Unified School Board. Finally, tune in next Saturday at 10:30 a.m. for the next edition of Education Matters. This is your host, Dwayne Olson, thanking you for being with us today.
It is 8:59. This is WGTD HD. Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva, Wisconsin. NPR News and classical music on your gateway to public radio. We'll be joining Wisconsin Public Radio for their classical music programming at 9 o'clock. Between now and then, we can check the forecast from the National Weather Service for today, Friday, 27th of March already. Sunny, breezy, and cold, a high of only 29. Normal high this time of year, 46. The record high for this date, we hit 81 degrees, March the 27th, 1945. Tonight, another cold one. Clear sky, a lot of stars. Overnight low 17. Here's how the weekend looks. Saturday, sunny and 36. Sunday, cloudy, 40% chance of rain and snow, and a high of 46. Then we still see some improvement. Monday, 52. Tuesday, 55. Wednesday, 56. Thursday, 59. This morning, though, still chilly, 21 degrees Kenosha, 19 for Racine.